brought a Bible with you today, why don't you open it up to Matthew chapter 27. And if you didn't bring a Bible, I know a lot of you use Bible apps these days. My kids have, they all have their devices out to read their Bibles. So that's fine too. If you don't have one and you'd like to read along, just look on with somebody next to you. We're going to read a good chunk of scripture, some of what we read earlier in the meeting. We're going to back up the story that we began the meeting with. To Matthew 27, verse 50. This is the moment that Jesus died. It says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." We kind of forget about that part of the Easter story, don't we? "When the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.' There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate,
into the hands of those who want to kill me." And guess what? They're going to be successful. It's going to look bad. They're going to crucify me. But I'm going to come back. And he did. He's not just the conqueror of philosophy or great ideas. He's conqueror over death itself. I love that he didn't die because he was wicked. And having paid the penalty for his wickedness, rise again from the dead. He was sinless. And he died for the sins of those who would trust in him. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." But Jesus was sinless. So why did he die? If the wages of sin is death, then why would Jesus die? Shouldn't he just live forever? Well, Romans 3:23 and 24 tells us why. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Here we go. This is the bad news of the good news, right? The bad news, guys, is that we have all sinned. And it doesn't say that at one point in our life we fell short. It says we fall short. That means on our very best day, not just your worst day, your very best day with the best righteousness you can muster up. You fall short. Well, thank you, John. You're so encouraging. Point out my sinfulness. Thank you very much. Your very best doesn't get there. But the verse doesn't stop there. Okay, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and," huge "and," "are justified freely by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward," here comes a big church word, "as a propitiation by his blood." That word means atoning sacrifice. Why did Jesus die if he was sinless? Was God punishing him because he needed to be dealt with somehow? He was put forth as an atoning sacrifice for you and for me. His death was because of my sin and because of your sin. And that's why death couldn't hold him down. He wasn't paying the price for his own sin, or he would have had to stay dead. Because the wages of sin is death, and that's not you die and that's it. The wages of sin is you die and that goes on forever, death. But because he had no sin, because he was the perfect, sinless God himself, death couldn't hold him. Death had no hold on him because he owed death nothing. So he's this atoning sacrifice, but he conquered death and he paid the price for you and for me. Now, thirdly, this Jesus, the very end of Matthew 28, Jesus says in verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, that's a really big, arrogant statement if that's not true. All authority on heaven and earth is given to me. And with that in mind, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Also a pretty arrogant statement if it's not true. But it is true. Now, Jesus, throughout his ministry, had been demonstrating the authority that he really has. In Matthew 9:6, he heals a paralyzed man. And he says, "I'm doing this that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." When he says, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me," this means something. So that you know that Jesus really is who he says he is, has the authority he says he has. He comes to a man who's paralyzed, and he says, "Take up your bed and walk." And he does. And he does. You imagine the bug eyes going on in the not just the religious people, but all the people. This guy couldn't walk, couldn't get up, and Jesus says, "Get up and walk." And he does it. Why? Jesus wants you to understand he has authority. Who is this Jesus? He's a God of authority. And now he's demonstrated his authority over even death and the grave. He has authority over death. He has authority over the grave. His authority to forgive sin and to grant eternal life to those who believe and follow him is proven through the resurrection. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, as Paul says, then I'm paraphrasing, then we of all people are pathetic. If he didn't really rise from the dead, then our hope is a lie. And we might as well go do something else on Easter Sunday, especially one like today when it's actually sunny. We have an Easter with good weather where the Easter egg hunting isn't in frigid awfulness. We might as well go do something else. But if this is true, if he really is the one with all authority, and when he can say, "I'm promising you won't perish, but you're going to have everlasting life," this means something. He claims to have authority even over nations and over each of us. It starts to hit home. Jesus is claiming to have authority It says, all authority on heaven and on earth is given to me, so I'm going to instruct you. Starts to hit. Why does this matter to us? I'm going to read a little from my notes here. This Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God, who proved his authority over sin, over sickness, over the very weather patterns of the earth. You know, he would speak to seas and they would stop, be still. He would speak to the wind and it would stop. This same Jesus asks us to put our faith in him. He asks us not only to follow him, but to teach others to do so as well. He claims authority over our lives and calls us to go into the world with the good news that he saves. And we read in the story that when Jesus even appeared after he rose from the dead, some of his disciples doubted. They weren't sure. Like, could this be real? No, seriously? And one of his disciples named Thomas said, I won't believe unless I can put my hands in the scars. My fingers in the hand, I'm saying it all wrong, in the scars, in his hands, and his feet, in his side. And when Jesus shows up, he's like, okay, here you go. Come on, check this out. See if this is for real or not. Some doubted. Guys, some still doubt. Many doubt. We live in a world full of doubt and unbelief and hopelessness. And we're carrying good news that sounds too good to be true. But Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen. You know, we have the representation of the cross over here. Jesus didn't die here. We haven't seen. We didn't get to see and witness his death and his resurrection then. But Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed? Blessed? Could we be blessed today, putting our faith in Jesus Christ? You realize that means there's a reward for following him? There's a reward for putting your faith in him? There's a payoff here. It's a simple question. Do you believe today? This story that we're reading, that we're discussing a little bit. Do you believe this? Jesus is calling us. He's daring us. He's challenging us to put our faith in him. Put your hope in him. Harry's going for it. He's like, yes. I'm in. Some of you today, maybe you feel it stirring in your heart. Like, I think this could be real. I think there's something here. There's something to this. What's going on is Jesus himself is stirring in you. He himself said, no one can even come unless the Spirit draws him. And if you feel that stirring, guess what's going on? God himself is drawing. He's drawing you. He's enabling you to believe. That's cool. So cool, man. The best enabler, in a good sense. I'm going to wrap with this. Jesus says three things. These aren't from our story. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This resurrection power, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. And when he rose, there were others who rose that day, because the power of death had been broken. And he promises, and it wasn't just for that few that experienced a really weird day. This is for us. Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And Jesus promises, I will raise him up, her up, on the last day. Do you get the implication here? Life forever, raised to never-ending life, into eternal life with God himself, all because of the cross, all because of Jesus' sacrifice, all because of his death and his resurrection. That's why you're here today. If it wasn't for that, I don't know where we'd be. Let's stand to our feet. There's a prayer that's going to come up here. Now, I never like to say, I want you to just repeat after me and we're going to pray something, and then no one knows what they're going to say. And you feel like you just got sucker punched, or, you know, like, whoa, what am I agreeing to? Sign this contract. We'll read it later. You have to pass it so you know what's in it, right? Okay. Oh, no. We're not going there. Okay. Prayer of faith. Look at this. It says this: Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you came to save sinners, and I am one. I believe you completely paid for my sin at the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe that you have conquered the power of sin. I believe that you've granted me eternal life through faith in your final sacrifice. I ask you to help me turn from my sin to honor you. Thank you for saving me and for bringing me into new life. I worship you, my Lord and my God. Amen. If you can say that, you can pray that and mean it, then I'm just going to pray that again. And I would invite you, affirm that. Affirm that. Maybe you've been a Christian for longer than I've been alive. Let's affirm it today. Maybe today's your day and you're saying, I've never really bought into this, but today I'm stepping in. Let's pray it and let's affirm that together. Maybe you've been running from God. You know it. You believe, and yet you've been running and you've been kind of holding him off at a distance. Today's a great day to just freshly affirm, Jesus, we're yours. You're our God. So if you're willing, let's pray this together. I'll just launch out and you can, I'm not going to say repeat after me. We'll just pray it together. Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you came to save sinners, and I am one. I believe you completely paid for my sin at the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe that you have conquered the power of sin. I believe that you have granted me eternal life through faith in your final sacrifice. I ask you to help me turn from my sin to honor you. Thank you for saving me and for bringing me into new life. I worship you, my Lord and my God. Amen. So what we're going to do, guys, we are going to sing a little song here to close out the meeting. It's very simple. I guarantee you almost none of you will know it. So we're going to learn it together. It's sort of just celebrating who this Jesus is and what he's done. Our Missoula friends visiting, you guys will recognize this one.